Okay. Well, all right. Open your Bibles up to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. You know, we're going to study Kenneth Hagin's notes. Anybody ever heard of him? I preach right out of his notes. This isn't something I come up with. This is right out of his notes. But it did change my life. But I had been searching and really diligently seeking God as hard as I could and trying to find the answers. You know, I knew I was born again, and I knew there were some things I needed to be doing. I knew there were some things I needed to get done, and I was missing. It seemed like I was that close. And I couldn't get over that hump. But anyway, I'm going to read this to you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Now, that word "diligently seek him." He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I was doing everything I could possibly do to be able to operate by faith. I was anything I could think of. If somebody mentioned a book, I'd go get that book. If somebody mentioned a preacher, I'd try to listen to that preacher. I'd do whatever I could possibly do. You ever seen a $150 wore out Bible? Right here. One day I was at my friend's house, and they just towed his pickup away. He didn't make a payment. And he had this Bible. Actually, this Bible was given to another friend of mine, and he was going to fly to Phoenix, and it was going to add too much weight to his luggage, so he left it behind with my other friend. My other friend was sitting there broke, and he needed $150. I said, "I'll give you $150 for that Bible," because I'd been reading these notes, and I knew in my heart that my answer was in these notes. And my answer was in them notes. We see from this verse that without faith, it is impossible to please him. Therefore, if God demands that we have faith when it is impossible for us to have, then we have a right to challenge his justice. But if he places within our hands the means whereby faith can be produced, then the responsibility rests with us whether we have faith or not. Whether we have faith or not is totally up to us. God has told us that without faith it is impossible to please him. But he has also told us how to get faith. If we don't have faith, it is not God's fault. To blame God for our lack of faith is nothing but ignorance, because God has provided the way whereby everyone can have faith. You know, he has given us the measure of faith. You may not realize this, but he gave you faith to get born again. How did that happen? Somebody was standing in front of you and they told you that God raised Jesus back to life, and that if you confess Jesus to be Lord, you shall be saved. That got into your heart and you believed it. And then you confessed with your mouth what you believed. And you got born again. all our other faith, everything else that we have to contend with faith, is going to be done the same exact way. That is the recipe right there. Believe it in your heart and then confess it with your mouth. Now, there's another element that people don't really seem to understand about this faith. You did believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and then you believed that God raised him back to life. But what you didn't realize is you were seeing his grace. You were seeing his grace, and that caused faith to well up in your heart, and then you confessed what you believed out of your mouth. When you concentrate on the grace of God, that's going to cause faith to well up in your heart. See, that's the guys on the road to Emmaus. They felt that fire burning inside of them when Jesus was talking to them. See, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Well, if you get that translation right, you'll find out that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. See, I could preach the law to you every day, and all that's going to build is fear and condemnation and failure into you. And you'll be so frustrated that you'll just quit. Because that's what the law does. No man can live by the law. But that is the Word of God, isn't it? And it's the holy Word of God. The law is holy, just, and good. You need to understand that. The law is holy, just, and good. But it will not do one thing to help you be holy, just, and good. But the words of Jesus are words of grace. And when the words of grace hit a man's heart, he changes. That's what happened to the guys on the road to Emmaus. We had faith for salvation. The Apostle Paul said that we are saved by faith. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Says we are saved by faith. Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." But how do you get faith to be saved? This is an important thing. Everything that we're going to get in this life, we're going to have to get it by faith. But if you'll believe in the grace of God, your faith will be a whole lot easier to build. Now, there is a habit in the Word of Faith circles, because there's a lot of pressure put on people to have faith. A lot of pressure on people to operate by faith. If they spend as much time telling people about the grace of God, they wouldn't have to spend near as much time telling them to operate by faith. They would just do it. When a man encounters the grace of God, faith will be in his heart. Romans chapter 10, verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That's how you get born again. We understand that righteousness is by faith, and righteousness is right standing with God. That's what righteousness means. Righteousness does not mean right doing. It's right believing. It's right believing. Abraham believed God, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Abraham did not behave right all the time, but God still considered him to be righteous. He was in right standing with God because Abraham believed God. Now, what's it tell us in the New Testament? It says to believe on Jesus. How do you believe on Jesus? Believe what he did in his death, burial, and resurrection. Believe what he did in his passion. Believe what he's doing right now as your high priest, making intercession for you. Understand these different things. These are new creation realities and the very basics of faith. And when you get a hold of these, faith launches you forward. Too many people want to skip over them, and they want to find the next new thing. They want to find the next new preacher. They want to find the next new doctrine. They want to find the next new exciting thing. And then pretty soon these preachers just start making stuff up. If they just stop and go back to the basics, they would realize that they are copycatting Jesus, which is what we're supposed to do. Amen? We don't have to have some brand new fancy revelation of something. What we have is a revelation of his word that he already has in the Bible written down for us. You know, Peter, he seen Jesus. He touched Jesus. He ate with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He ministered with Jesus. Jesus came to his house and healed his sick mom. And Jesus seen, or Peter seen angels. Angels brought messages to Peter. And Peter called the written word of God the more sure word of prophecy. After all that he seen, after all that he witnessed, everything that he went through, he said, this written word is a more sure word of prophecy. This is what you need to hang your hat on right here. This written word. Even Jesus said to build your life upon that rock. Amen? Go down to verse 13. It says, for whosoever... You should circle that word. Whosoever. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That pretty much covers everybody. I mean, every single human being on the face of this earth, if they call on the name of the Lord Jesus, they shall be saved. Oh, that grinds some people backwards. You know, they just can't stand the thought of some of these people being born again. Well, they're terrorists. Muslims are terrorists. You think they can get born again? Of course, anybody that calls on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. You know, Paul, for all intents and purposes, today, when he was Saul, according to our standards today, he would have been labeled a terrorist. But he had a confrontation. He had a divine meeting with Jesus. And he got born again on the spot. On the spot. He looked and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "Oh, you're Lord." Do you realize that he got born again right there? He repented. Now, if some people would get a hold of that, they would give some people a break. You know, now there's people that don't think a man can be born again unless they take him to a room and this guy sits there and spends 3.5 hours confessing all these sins that he did. Because that's true repentance. No, that's sin confession. It's not repentance. Repentance is, one day Paul believed the law was his way to righteousness. The next day he repented and he said, "Jesus is Lord." And later on you find Paul saying, "I just forget all that law stuff. I count it as not." He turned his back on it completely. Walked away from it. That's repentance. That means turn around. Go the other way. Verse 14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" There's three things. Number one, there needs to be a preacher out there. You are a preacher. You may not be part of the fivefold, but you are a preacher. Your word, your job is to go out there and sow the word. Tell people about Jesus. So they can hear you say the words of Christ to them. So they can believe in their heart. So that they can take what they believe in their heart and say it with their mouth and end up in the same boat as you. Sometimes you got to tear these verses down a little bit. You got a job. It's an easy job. It's telling people about Jesus. It's sowing the word into their heart. In the end times, the reaper will overtake the sower. You know, and we've witnessed some of that. You know, you can go sow the word, tell somebody about Jesus, and it's almost like the words bounce off their forehead and come back to you as fast as you say them. And you wonder, wow, that was weird. And then there's times you tell somebody about Jesus and it's like they just soak it in as fast as you can get it out and they're born again that minute. It's like, wow, I'm a hot rod. No. What's happened, sowing that word. And you just come bebopping along one day and you say a few things to them and they just, boom, you're born again. You know? But there's an urgency in the Spirit right now. There's an urgency for the church to get ready. There's an urgency for the church to be prepared. There's an urgency for the church to get edified and trained up to go out there in the mission field where you spend over 98% of your time, 99% of your time out there. You spend a couple hours a week in here. The rest of the time, you're out there. Out there. Around people that are not saved. And people that need to hear about Jesus. Amen? Now, go down to verse 17. It says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Literally, we talked about that. Literally, the word of Christ. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. God told Joshua to meditate on my word day and night. So Joshua literally was supposed to take that word and meditate on it and say it over and over and over again. We're in the same boat. We need to take that word, find the promise of God, and say that over and over and over and over again. You're not trying to talk God into something. You're not going to change Him. What is going to happen, though, is you're going to change you. Because faith is going to come into your heart. You're going to meditate on these verses and you're going to say them over and over. And then pretty soon, you'll sit there maybe and be trying to figure out a verse and meditate on it and study it and look at it and read it and say it over and over and over again. You'll think, man, I must be dumber than a dog because I ain't getting this. And you say it, and you'll think, nothing is happening. Say it some more, say it again, and then one day you'll be eating an enchilada down at Lupita's, and you'll take a bite, and it'll ding, say, oh, I got it. I know what that means now. But what happened is you heard it, and then all of a sudden, you got a revelation of what that word meant. Amen? That's what we want, is a revelation. You know, Jesus asked Peter, said, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Peter, because God has given this to you. You didn't get it from man. You got it from God. And upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Not on Peter. On the rock of revelation. He was talking about that revelation that Peter got from God. We get a revelation from God, and that takes us a step forward. We get another revelation from God, that takes us another step forward. Amen. And we just keep on getting more gems in our hearts. The thing about these is we'll have to fight for them. Now listen to Glenn Smith say one time on a tape. He said, you should go back and read all the stuff you got underlined in your Bible. The Holy Spirit impressed upon you enough to underline something that was read in church. Now, there's a verse, and He impressed it on you enough to underline it, highlight it. That means go back home and read it some more. Now, the Bible talks about when the sower sows the word, sometimes there's birds come in there after those seeds. The preacher will say something to you sometimes, and it hits you with the word, and it'll excite your spirit, and you'll underline that verse and say, man, I got to remember that. And then, you get out of church and the roast is ready and it's time to eat, and so you eat, and then, football or baseball is on TV, or the kids are going to go fishing or something, and then next thing you know, it's supper time and bedtime, and then it's Monday morning, and you go to work, and you get busy, and life happens, and you got this going on, and you got that going on, and that verse is underlined in your Bible, and you never made it back to it. The Holy Spirit was trying to hit you with the heavy revy, and you got sidetracked. There's so many distractions in this world, so it's hard to just focus on what the Holy Spirit is trying to impress upon you. But it's vitally important. It was one thing. I'm glad I was broke when I got this Bible. I mean, $150 was a lot of money to me. I mean, that was a ton of money. So we didn't have a TV, and we didn't have much distractions. It was just go make a little money so we could eat. So fasting came pretty easy. I could spend a lot of time reading this Bible. So when the Holy Spirit would hit me with the revelation, I had a lot of time to focus on that word and look at it and read it over and over and over and over and over again and keep getting it in my heart so I get it in my mouth. I'll show you the results of that one of these days. Go to Acts chapter 11, and I'll just kind of go over Romans chapter 8 Romans chapter 10 while you're finding Acts. Acts chapter 11. After studying the passage of Scripture that we just studied, there were three steps that a man takes in order to receive salvation. Confess, believe, and accept. Those are the three steps. So this salvation is available, according to verse 13, to whosoever calls on the name of the Lord. And we found out that faith comes by hearing the word of God. Now look at Acts chapter 11, verse 13. He showed us how he, Cornelius, had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. Did you know you can believe for your household to get saved? Did you know that we pretty much witnessed that in this church, in this body? A computer glitch. I was thinking about this the other day. A computer glitch caused the whole household to get saved. I'm serious. And if I would have just used my common sense, I had this computer glitch, and I went and asked this guy, I said, hey, I need to get my computer fixed. And he said, yeah, there's this blind guy over there. He fixes computers all the time. And I could have said, well, that's asinine. Who's going to take their computer to a blind guy? Use your head. I said, no. I thought, okay, we'll we'll roll with it. I'm pretty easy going and stuff. So I go over there and I not only I knock on the door. This guy answers. Hey, can you fix my computer? He said, yeah. So I went inside and I'm just me. I'm visiting. And he said, well, I'm an atheist. I said, okay. So we talked about guns and dogs and cats and computers. He said, how much you charge? He told me. And I went home. Called me the next day. Your computer's ready. So I went down there. I said, how much owe you? And he said, nothing. I said, well, that makes sense. This atheist, he's going to bless the preacher. I mean, you got some of the things that go through my mind sometimes are that. Okay. But can you come talk to my friend? Yeah. I can go talk to your friend. So we went over there and prayed for Crystal. And she got born again. Grandma got born again. Butchie got born again. Trevor got born again. What's the bald-headed one? Eric, he got born again. Pete got born again. And now Pete's sister got born again. That was God. Only God could pull something like that off. Amen? You can stand on that verse to get your family member saved. You can remind God of His Word. You can tell Him. You can tell Him. I learned this from a Church of Christ woman. She'd take her Bible when she needed something. She'd take her Bible and she'd say, God, your word says, whereby thou and all thy household shall be saved. Whatever promise she needed, if she needed food, she'd lift up her Bible. She said, God, your word says that you would supply all my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You can do the same thing. God told us to remind Him of His Word. Amen? Now you're going to have to believe it in your heart. This isn't just something that you just go try. You know, I think I'll give this a shot. I heard that preacher say that. And I'll go give it a shot. No. You're going to have to put forth a little bit of effort. You're going to have to feed on these promises. You have to feed on these promises, get them in your heart, so then you can go say, okay, Father, this is what your word says. And I know that I'm not good enough in and of myself, but because of what Jesus did for me on that cross, I qualify for your promises because of His shed blood. Your word says that you would supply all my needs according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I thank you for it, and I receive my needs met. Amen? God instructed Cornelius to send for Peter in order to learn the plan of salvation. You know, can you imagine how taboo this must have seemed? Because Cornelius was a Gentile. Peter was a Jew. They hadn't gotten all this stuff sorted out. They were still thinking that salvation was for the Jews. And Peter was used to living clean. You know, don't eat these things. That, you know, he had this vision when he was on the roof. And God let this whole, like a sheet down with all these different animals and said, take, eat. He said, no, I've never let anything unclean touch my lips. But it is also referring to Gentiles too. See, the Jews and Gentiles did not mix. That's why there was a middle wall of partition to keep us separated. But Jesus tore that down and made us one body. Amen? He made us one body. But Peter went there anyway. Evidently, he started remembering what Jesus had told him. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Every creature. Every creature. Somehow, a lot of the church says, well, I'll go preach to the white ones. I'll go preach to the rich ones. I'm called to preach to the PRCA Cowboys. I had one guy tell me he was anointed to preach to the extremely rich people. God said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, because all that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Amen? You know, Cornelius had not as yet heard this glorious gospel. He was not saved. God told Cornelius to send for Peter in order to learn the plan of salvation. You know, there was an angel there talking to Cornelius. Why couldn't he just tell him the plan of salvation? He has no authority to do that. God has given that authority to men. Amen. Now, angels are messengers. They've been sent to serve the heirs of salvation. That will be us. When you're born again, you are an heir of salvation. They've been sent to serve you, minister to you. But they cannot preach the gospel. That is reserved for us. Now, there's a fallacy in the church world that to talk to people, they're convinced that the pastor needs to go out and get people born again. That is true, but not to the extent that they think it is. Glenn Smith said, sheep beget sheep. Pastors do not beget sheep. Sheep beget sheep. That means you go out there and preach the gospel. Now, Paul did say that to Timothy, he said, you are a pastor, but you need to do the work of an evangelist. I'm not exempt from witnessing. Nobody is exempt from witnessing. This is the key thing. There's so many events, there's so many church events that churches try to bait people in. You know, cowboy church world is rampant with it. Let's have a roping. We'll build an arena at the church and we'll have a roping, and they can rope for free if they hear the gospel. We'll have a barbecue, and they can all come in there and they can eat all the barbecue they want, but they got to hear the gospel. You want to know what I see on people's faces when churches start talking to them about these events? They just go blank. They just say, where's the hook? Where's the hook? One-on-one witnessing will not be done away with. That's how the church body grows. One-on-one witnessing. It's great when you have an event and you go somewhere and there's a lot of strangers and you preach and 75 people get born again. That's cool. But it's still one-on-one witnessing. People talking to somebody, telling them about Jesus, and getting them born again. If you don't feel comfortable leading them to the Lord or not sure you're going to get it, you can call me and I'll go down there, talk to them, or you can bring them to church, or you can call a friend that has had experience in this. They can help you through it. But it's still one-on-one witnessing. Amen? I think I'm going to make some cards to help people. Seriously, because you can get people born again over the phone, and you can just read right down this card and get people born again. It doesn't have to be tricky or nothing. You just tell people about Jesus. Well, from these verses, we find out that the people that shall tell thee words whereby thou shalt be saved, shows us that men are saved by hearing words. The reason for this is that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word. It's going to be us telling somebody about Jesus. Well, what if they reject me? What if they turn me? This is a fear that people fall into all the time. What if they turn me down? What if they reject me? Number one, you're not so cool that they're rejecting you. They're rejecting Jesus. Not you. You didn't get on the cross. And you didn't get raised back to life in the sense Jesus did. You didn't die for their sins. Amen. So if they turn away from it, they're turning away from Jesus, not you. But get a hold of this. Your job is not to get people born again. That's part of it. I mean, if you get to do that, that's great. Your job is to sow the word. Your job is to sow the word. And if somebody gets born again, then hallelujah, man, it's cool. You got to be a part of a great miracle. If they don't get born again, you still did your job. You sowed the word. So then some other guy walking down the street comes up, and so is the word on this guy. And he gets born again. Don't be jealous and don't be mad that guy got born again talking to your friend and not you. You did your job. You sowed the word. You helped get that word into his heart so that he could believe it. Amen? Well, thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your word. We thank you that your word in our hearts builds faith. It's your word, Jesus. Your word builds faith in our heart. And we know that when we take your word into our heart, that it will produce fruit for you in your kingdom. Some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold, but you will get a return on your word. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.